we benefit from, in many cases, a purpose-built living classroom where we've been able to take a blank space and create, in partnership with our academic partners, a skills lab, a lounge, or a classroom. But I see many living classrooms across the province that are much smaller in scale and provide the same benefits and have the same rewards. So you don't have to have a lot of space in order to incorporate a living classroom into your organization. I think there has to just be a willingness to try.
Welcome to Coming of Age, a podcast that is changing the conversation on aging. I'm your host, Donna Duncan, CEO of the Ontario Long-Term Care Association. This season, season four of Coming of Age, we welcome an exciting roster of guests from around the world, thought leaders who are at the forefront of transforming seniors' living and care and are shaping the future for all of us as we age. Today, we're diving into the magic of living classrooms, a groundbreaking program that's transforming how we train and recruit a workforce in seniors care. Innovation is alive and well in long-term care, and programs like the Living Classroom are leading the way. The Living Classroom is more than just a training model. It's a partnership that brings education right into long-term care. Students, faculty, residents and visitors, and care team members work together in a culture of shared learning and teaching. Students gain invaluable hands-on experience, while residents and care teams benefit from fresh ideas, mentorship opportunities, and meaningful connection. It's not just about co-location. It really is about an integrative approach to learning and care. Today, we'll hear from three guests who bring the Living Classroom to life. Warda Abbas, a personal support worker at the village of Tansley Woods in Burlington, Ontario, Canada, and a recent graduate of the Living Classroom program at Mohawk College and Schlegel Villages. Christine Bruder, People Opportunities Partner at Schlegel Villages, who has seen firsthand how partnership with the education sector and this program shape workforce development. And Jennifer Hartwick, Director of Business Development at Schlegel Villages, who will share the big picture vision for the Living Classroom, why it started, and its future potential. I'm excited to learn more about the program through them, so let's dive in. This episode was generously sponsored by our sector champion, Plan A. Welcome back to our listeners. Really delighted today to be focusing on the magic of living classrooms. Schlegel Villages in Ontario, Canada really is a leader in this space. Jennifer, perhaps you could start off by telling us about Schlegel Villages, but also what is a living classroom?
We are a mission-driven organization who really specializes in long-term care and retirement homes. We operate 18 different villages across southwestern Ontario, and we provide home for over 5,300 older adults now. And in a continuum of care that obviously includes long-term care, retirement living, but also some community-based services as well. Our villages are really designed to foster social engagement and really promote well-being. Each village is built around a concept of a small Northern Ontario community. So we have a main street and a town square that connects our residents and our students and our researchers and our educators and the broader community together. When it comes to living classrooms, when you actually go for the official definition off of the Living Classroom website, it says that a living classroom is a partnership model. One that integrates education into a long-term care or retirement home setting, a really unique opportunity for students to gain real life experience so that they're well prepared for a career, hopefully in senior living.
How did this program actually start? And I also know that it's evolving.
It's hard to believe, Donna, but our living classroom model has now been in place for 15 years. It's incredible that it's been that long already, but it's way back into September of 2009 when our first living classroom opened at the Village of Riverside Glen in Guelph in partnership with Conestoga College. And the impetus for it, to be honest, was that there was a nursing shortage. And so there's no local college in Guelph that we could partner with at that time to have students come and do placements, which is traditionally how we would engage students at that time to be considerate of a career in long-term care or retirement living. So in partnership with Conestoga College and Schlegel Villages, we opened the Living Classroom where our very first 30 personal support workers came to Riverside Glen to be part of our first Living Classroom. The classroom quickly expanded to welcome the practical nursing students as alongside the PSW students. And it really met the need for students who were unable to travel to other jurisdictions for their schooling while we were experiencing these shortages. So individuals who could live in and around Guelph had a more local place to go to obtain a PSW or a practical nursing diploma.
Has that really helped you with your recruitment and retention? Because I know even during the pandemic, we had new people come into our long-term care homes as PSWs, but they weren't necessarily sure that this was going to be a fit for them. And for many, it wasn't. So are you tracking those outcomes in terms of who actually stays, goes on to be a PSW, who may then want to continue on to become a registered practical nurse or a registered nurse?
We are doing a better job of tracking today than we had early on in the program. There have been hundreds of students who have graduated from the Living Classroom, and many of those graduates have been or continue to be employees of the Village of Riverside Glen. As the program has expanded across Schlegel Villages, we've had to find a better tool in which to track this. So with programs now, not just with Conestoga College, but also expanding with Mohawk College to our campus in Hamilton at the Village of Wentworth Heights and the Village of Tansley Woods in Burlington, and recently with Sheridan College in Mississauga at the Village of Erin Meadows, we've now got a larger volume of students that we're trying to track and find placements for, as well as future employment opportunities.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm sure that student satisfaction is top of mind, not only their success rate, but their how satisfied they are. Have there been any issues with families or residents? How do they respond? Christine, would love to hear your thoughts.
One of the things when a living classroom is started, often residents are, what's going on? What's happening? Well, this is a change. And so we're often having to remind them, students have all been here. They're just in a different capacity now. We've hosted students for many years. What we are trying to do is be very proactive. Let them know what to expect. Where will the students be? What will they be doing? How will it impact them in their day-to-day living? And the more we communicate upfront and share as much information as we have, it's less likely that we get any pushback. In fact, what residents do enjoy is that extra connection that they get with people. Just that friendly conversation, the engagement that they get in, you know, having a genuine and authentic conversation with somebody, and with having the students there, it allows to enhance those meaningful connections with people. So in all, the feedback has been positive, but advice would be make sure you're proactive in sharing what's to be expected.
In one of the other interviews in this season of our podcast, we were actually talking about how to integrate new generations into our models of care. And just because something is co-located doesn't necessarily mean that it's integrated. And what you're speaking of is a truly integrated approach to care and learning how you're supporting your residents. I am really delighted that Warda Abbas has actually been able to join us. So listeners, Warda Abbas is a PSW at the Village of Tansley Woods and a recent graduate of the Living Classroom program at Mohawk College in Schlegel Villages that Christine and Jennifer have spoken about. Welcome, Warda. We are so pleased that you are able to join us today and really wanting to hear from you firsthand. Why did you apply to the Mohawk Living Classroom PSW program? What was so attractive for you as an applicant as you were thinking about your career path?
I live in Hamilton, and right behind my house is the Wentworth Heights Schlegels. And I was planning to go back to school, and my friend, she said, why don't you go to Mohawk and apply for PSW program? And then there was like two options. One was the Brantford, and one was the Tansleywood. I did apply and I got in right away. It's very convenient for me. I don't have to drive to a different colleges like out of the town. And I trust Mohawk College because all my friends graduated from Mohawk College and I know how it is.
That's so great to hear because it sounds like they made it easy for you. What was your experience like as a student? So coming in, you've now been through the application process. You've been accepted into the program. Did you have modules first and then you went to work, have an opportunity to actually have direct contact with the residents?
So we have lots of modules to go through before we go into the program. We had to finish them before our first lab day so we can go in person. So when the first day started, we were introduced to the team experience anyway. So we went upstairs and we were introduced to the floor. We were introduced to the long-term care and the retirement. So we know if we're going on the placement, we know where we are going. Then the next lab day, we were practicing on each other to make sure that we have all the knowledge that we need to apply it on the residents.
That's very insightful and really helpful for others who might be interested in the program. Are you working in long-term care now?
Yes, I do work in long-term care. Yeah, that really prepared me really well. And it actually made me push me forward to apply for the bridging program also at Tansleywood Lab. So it's very exciting.
That is super exciting. So that's for the registered practical nursing program?
Yes. Very nervous and excited and everything.
So I know, Warda, that you have a family. And I'm really curious, as we think about this, you're going to school, you're working at the same time in a long-term care, and now you're going back to school. How does this program and how do Schlegel Villages actually help you balance that school, work, and family life?
So the schedule is very flexible. Like I talked to my team coordinator and he's like, it's going to be fine. We will work around your schedule. We will see what hours you need to work and when it's your lab day and everything. So they're very helpful. They're very understanding of that we have life, we have family, and we're trying to pursue our dreams.
Well, and we need you to succeed in your dreams because we really need people like you, Warda, who are committed to working with older people who want to come and have a career in our healthcare system.
Yeah, they work in the long-term care and two of them actually, they moved the RPN right away, but most of them, they are still working in the long-term care and I have one friend who works in a hospital.
So the program's working, Jennifer and Christine. I have to say, Christine, from your vantage point, how has this evolved and what makes this program unique as you support the students in achieving that balance, but also achieving success?
Yeah, thank you. Congratulations, Warda. If I could, Donna, just touch on that briefly, because Warda's comment about the bridging program, that evolved last summer with Mohawk College. We were struggling to find RPNs. And so we came up with this bridging program idea to utilize the space of our living classroom. So we brought on, I believe we're at 72. We've got two sites with our first cohort of PSWs bridging to RPN at both our Wentworth Heights and our Tansley Woods. And then as Warda shared, we've got another cohort ready to go. It really, that experiential learning is that whole concept of what makes that program unique. It's that hands-on experience with a supportive team behind you, guiding you all the way through your learning and being present to answer questions, help you grow. There's no better way to learn than hands-on. You can learn everything you want, right, Warda, from a textbook or from a lesson, but to really experience that, it brings it to a whole different level.
Hands-on is the best. That's how we were all prepared to go right away and work in the long-term care because we had the knowledge, we had the experience, and we just went directly and apply it.
Warda, you spoke about the support that Mohawk College gave you in joining this program. Jennifer and Christine were both talking about the importance of the partnerships. And one of the themes that consistently comes up on our discussions on this podcast are about trust, shared vision, and trust. And I am curious how you pick your partners, your academic partners, colleges, universities, school boards, and others. to find that path? And is it getting easier now that you have a well-tested model that will continuing to evolve for how we can build a new workforce? And Christine and Jennifer would love to hear from you on that.
I can tell you that years in advance, before we even have our long-term care homes built, we're already seeking out new partnerships in those local communities. We try and partner with local academic partners first to provide opportunities for students who live in and around where our long-term care home is going to be located or our retirement home. There has to be a shared vision. You're absolutely right, Donna. You talk about ever evolving. We've now expanded to OTA and PTA programs. Christine has been working with some local colleges around having EMS students come into our buildings as well. So we're always looking to expand not just our academic partners, but also the number of programs or the types of programs that are offered within our living classrooms as well.
Well, it sounds like you're community building. So if you're building out occupational therapy and physiotherapy and now working with emergency response paramedics, you've got a model that you really seem to be building on and scaling out. And Christine, at your end, what makes it work with those higher education institutions or those other professions and regular allied health professionals?
The big piece, as you mentioned, is that trust, that willingness to take risks, the willingness to fail forward. And that's such a big thing for us at Schlegel, is to be able to learn as we continue to move forward. What I've truly loved about the current partners, I can speak in particular to Conestoga and Mohawk, that they've just embraced the concept of what do you think about or how would we implement? And it's starting to go both ways. So Conestoga College had reached out to us about the EMS. And so they had reached out and said, the majority of paramedic calls are in long-term care. How can we help better prepare our students? And so we met, we chatted about what would this look like, and we launched a pilot at two of our villages to kind of give experiential learning, of hands-on learning, of that living class experience in our villages. And the feedback has been very positive. We're now entering our third cohort. So I can comfortably say, I don't think it's a pilot anymore, that we are going to continue to offer this going forward. So really looking at what is the need, not only for long-term care, because we're not going to hire paramedics, but we're going to utilize them as a community service. And so how do we then collaborate so that we're giving the best experience to those who are working within the communities our residents live? We are now doing massage therapy with two different colleges. We did a pilot. It went phenomenal. And we've got another college willing to jump on board. Again, we don't hire those individuals. However, it's giving that experiential learning, giving benefits to our residents, and offering the students to learn in a senior's care, but also some people that have different diagnoses, and how do we work with people within that? So it's been a wonderful, I love that part of the innovation and creativity to explore experiential learning.
I would like to just add just one thing about the living classroom. We benefit from, in many cases, a purpose-built living classroom where we've been able to take a blank space and create, in partnership with our academic partners, you know, a skills lab, a lounge, or a classroom. But I see many living classrooms across the province that are much smaller in scale and provide the same benefits and have the same rewards. So you don't have to have a lot of space in order to incorporate a living classroom into your organization. I think there has to just be a willingness to try.
My understanding as well is you actually need the support of government as well. And I know that so many jurisdictions during the pandemic, Ontario included, threw a lot of spaghetti to try and get individuals to become PSWs, to get them in the stream, to get them on a pathway to practical nursing or to become registered nurses. One of the questions I'm often asked from my international colleagues and also colleagues from across Canada, how has the government of Ontario supported this type of innovation? What kinds of funding and incentives are available both the students to organizations like Schlegel Villages and to the post-secondary partners?
One of the things we've been fortunate, been blessed to have the partnership with the Research Institute and being able to implement a lot of the resources that they provide, but in particular is the PrEP-LTC funding that is available for long-term care homes to apply. What it's allowed us to do is, with Schlegel Villages having 18 locations, it would be impossible for me to support all of them, but the funding that we've applied for allows us to have a student coordinator on site to be able to help do the orientation, the onboarding, all of the pre-placement requirements before a student actually starts. So that has been incredible and hope that funding will continue. And then the other, in terms of the component for our students, in particular the PSWs, because of the shortage and the need going forward over the next several years, is Ontario Health has launched an incentive whereas a student is eligible, provided they did their placement in long-term care, they are eligible for up to 300 hours of payment. And they're paying a nice wage of $17.55 per hour for those students. And so the home then applies for that funding on behalf of the student and then distributes that funding as per direction of Ontario Health. In addition to that, they have also offered an incentive. So if you are, the home can then apply for a $5,000 retention incentive and being able to support the homes in retaining a lot of their employees.
It really does speak to the breadth and depth of the partnerships and innovation in this. Not only is it about working with your local community colleges, with your school boards and universities, it's also about partnerships with the Centers for Learning, Research, Innovation, and Long-Term Care. And then they work closely with the Research Institute on Aging, which again is bringing the science to bear. And how are we actually tying in some academic research as we build out these new programs as well? And then for our listeners, the PrEP-LTC or PrEP Long-Term Care is a program with the Registered Practical Nurses Association of Ontario, led by Diane Martin, where they are supporting this work as well. And then, of course, we do have the preceptor funding that we've been successful in having the province of Ontario sponsor.
With Ontario currently having the Living Classroom program be funded by the Government of Ontario, the support and the partnerships between those home and academic institutions, I believe today there are over 80 living classrooms through the partnership of the Research Institute for Aging that are so far part of this two-year funding that the Ministry of Long-Term Care has committed to, which is phenomenal.
When you are bringing science to bear and data to bear to support the continued expansion of these programs, and to your point, Jennifer, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It may depend on the size of the home. It may depend on the local community. We have many colleagues who are building out these classrooms with local school boards, not just community colleges. So there is enormous evolution in these programs for the benefit of your local community. So I think it's very exciting to see the evolution and to see your leadership come to bear and to hear from people like you, Warda. I'm wondering if you just want to comment on how you found the support of the government to make this possible.
It's very helpful, actually. I just got a pay and it came in perfect time so I could apply it for my college tuition, you know. It was like, oh, well, perfect timing, you know. This is actually very motivating. So you know that you are doing placement and the government is actually supporting you. You don't have to worry about like how I'm going to pay for the extra tuition if I need to and all this.
That's great to hear. Jennifer and Christine, you've been at the forefront of this. You've been presenting at conferences, not only across Canada, but internationally. As you see some of the health human resources challenges across Canada and the United States and the United Kingdom, what do you see as the future of learning for healthcare workers as we try to reimagine how we're going to meet the needs of our aging population? Jennifer?
We have an ability to engage others where a typical traditional setting doesn't meet their needs. And so our living classroom environments are smaller space. They're not large 900 seat classrooms. It's a smaller setting, you know, what I would like to think is a friendly environment where our students can come and be greeted by our residents and our family members. It's a neat place for us to offer a different way to learn the same kind of information, but come out with a different skill set above and beyond what you get in a traditional classroom. You heard Warda talk about how she had a different skill set and a level of competence and confidence, I think, that other students might not have coming through a traditional setting. It's a neat opportunity for us to show not just those living in Ontario, but around the world, potentially the opportunity of a rewarding career in the senior living sector. So I think the future is quite bright.
We've talked a bit about how we bring the students into the village and we incorporate them into the village. But also it's recognizing that you're in healthcare and you're learning about Parkinson's. And we've got, you know, some residents who would love to go in and talk to students about what it's like getting a diagnosis, seeing changes happen. And then what do I need from you? What's the care that you could give me to make this easier on me? And so we often will have residents go into the classrooms and talk and give their experience and share that. That piece, I think, is reciprocal, right? Because, you know, what would a retired teacher, you know, want more than to go in front of a class again and share a bit about life? And so it's wonderful that way. So that's the Specialist High Skills Major Program that we've partnered with some local high schools. And so we provide students the opportunity to come into our villages, learn about all different aspects of healthcare and working in long-term care and retirement, learn about our residents, learn about potential opportunities, not just nursing, but kinesiology, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, recreational opportunities, social work, culinary. So really diverse. And then we have our residents come and they have small interview sessions to talk to our residents. It is incredible for our residents. When we do this, we often get residents saying, how can I sign up for that? How can I get involved in that? And so more and more at the villages we're doing this, we're getting more and more people interested in sharing and collaborating and just sharing life with these young students.
We're a firm believer at Schlegel Villages of the wisdom of the elder. And I think this program is such a nice fit for that, that our residents and our family members as well get the opportunity to share their wisdom through all of these programs. And so we really take the opportunity to capture just that, the wisdom of our elders that we spend our days with.
It's so inspiring. And again, to that earlier point that I made, this just isn't about co-location. It's not a room in a building. It really is a much more intergenerational, integrated approach to learning, to sharing, to educating, where each individual can wear multiple hats in real time. It really is very inspiring for all of us to hear about your program. And I know for our listeners as well, we will share in our resources some links to the Green Bench and Elder Wisdom and the Schlegel Villages podcast, which is sharing that the voices of Elder Wisdom as well as other resources. But before we sign off, I do want to know, if for those who are interested in getting in touch with you to learn more about living classrooms, how to get started, who is best to direct our listeners to you?
Absolutely. Christine or myself would be happy to connect with them about any, if they have any questions or any interest, or you can simply go to livingclassroom.ca. There is an entire website dedicated to learning about the living classroom, and there's a guidebook actually available that you can download and read more about how to go about implementing your own living classroom within your organization as well.
Well, thank you so much. We will put those resources in the links for our listeners. I have to say, Jennifer, Christine, and Warda, thank you for sharing your inspiring stories. Thank you for your leadership, for all that you do. And we look forward to seeing the continued evolution of the magic of living classrooms. This brings a wrap to this season of Coming of Age. And what a journey it's been, exploring the pressing issues that impact our aging population and uncovering the innovative solutions that are shaping the future of seniors' care. From policy and politics to innovative care models and solutions to build senior-friendly communities and sustain our health workforce, we've covered a lot of ground. We hope you found these conversations as insightful and thought-provoking as we have. As we close out this season, we want to thank all of our incredible guests who shared their expertise, experiences, and ideas with us. And of course, we thank our sponsors for making this podcast possible. But most of all, we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in and being part of this important conversation. We'll be back with more stories, expert insights, and thought leadership in the next season. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share your favorite podcast with others. Your support helps us continue to grow and reach more people who are passionate about changing the conversation on aging and care. Until next time, remember, reimagining the future of seniors living in care starts with each one of us. Thank you for being part of Coming of Age. We'll see you next season. I'm your host, Donna Duncan. This episode was generously sponsored by our sector champion, Plan A. Plan A Senior Care Staffing and Recruitment is Canada's premier healthcare staffing solution dedicated to the senior care sector. They specialize in providing compassionate and skilled healthcare professionals to support long-term care and retirement homes. Introducing the addition of Plan A Allied, with a combined focus on flexibility, innovation, and team building, Plan A will offer over 20 new designations tailored to be the solution to your human resource challenges. Trust Plan A Allied as your comprehensive supplemental staffing partner, ensuring your home is equipped with the dedicated workforce necessary for optimal care and support. Learn more at www.jointheateam.com.